This island was the last stop on a ferry route that ran generally south-southeast from the mainland, so we had steamed into it from the north. The terminal and town were built around the island's only surviving harbor, a bight chomped out of the northwest limb of the approximately round island. Our camp was in the northeast, in one of a series of closely spaced coves separated by fingers of hardened magma that had reached down from the caldera many centuries before Ekba had been settled. So all of our views, during those first few days, had been of the north face of the volcano, which looked regular and graceful, even if Haligastrium's voice was in my ear telling me it was dangerously steep. Yesterday's drive had taken us clockwise around the island, passing down its eastern shore, and after a few miles, we had suddenly come in view of its south slope, which had exploded and collapsed in -2621, burying the Temple of Orathena, and filling in and obliterating a harbor on the island's southeastern coast into which the early physiologers, followers of Canoas from all round the Sea of Seas, had once voyaged in their galleys and sailing ships. Anyone could see at a glance that it was the result of an explosion. The ash and rubble sloped straight from summit to sea. So slow had Ekba been to recover that the road, even now, faltered as it came up onto the rubble fan and became an informal dirt track for several miles. There were no signs, no buildings or improvements. At one point, though, as we had slowly rounded the island's southeastern curve and had come to a place where we could look straight up into the yawning rupture in the volcano's cone, we had seen a separate track, teed into the coastal road, that ran straight uphill for some distance, then veered off into the first of a series of switchbacks. These ascended a bare slope whose skyline was reinforced by a dark wall. We hadn't needed Saman's satellite imagery to know that this was the math that had been a building there since 3000. Halfway between us and it, at the beginning of the switchbacks, a few low buildings struggled to keep their roofs above the drifting ash. We had gone up there and found several avowed running a sort of checkpoint and souvenir stand. They had all worn bolts and cords openly. We had told them no lies, but behaved as if we were tourists. They had been pleased to sell us things, soap made with volcanic ash, but had let us know we could not drive any farther up the road. Later, as we had paused in town to pick up supplies, I had again seen bolted and corded avowed walking around openly. They had not seemed like hierarchs. This had been, then, a violation of the discipline, as was letting avowed run a souvenir stand. But, too, it let us know that relations between avowed and extras were much friendlier here than, say, in Masht. I had badly wanted to approach those avowed and ask them if they knew of Orlo, but had checked myself, reasoning that they would still be here tomorrow, and it was better to sleep on it. And sleep on it I had. But this had booted me nothing but that endless frustrating dream about remote manipulator arms. Having slept so poorly, I didn't say much at breakfast, until I came out with, "Suppose there are no biological geometers, creatures with bodies like ours, sitting at the controls of those machines. What if they died long ago and left behind ships and probes that run an automated program?" This turned out to be an absolute conversation killer, except in the case of Saman, who seemed delighted by the idea. "So much the better for us," he said, which puzzled me for a moment, until I perceived that by us he meant the Eta. I considered it. "Makes you more useful to the secular power, you mean?" His face froze for a while, and I knew I had offended him.
"Perhaps being useful to them isn't the only thing we care about," he suggested. "Perhaps the Eta can have other aspirations."
"Sorry."
"Think what a fascinating problem it would be to interact with such a system," he exclaimed. I'd gotten off easy. He was so thrilled by this idea that he wasn't going to dwell on my slur. "At its lowest level, it would be a fully deterministic SynDev. But it would express itself only in certain actions, movements of the ship, transmissions of data, and so on. Observables, or we'd use givens, but go on. To grasp the workings of the syntactic program by analyzing those givens would be a sort of code-breaking effort. We Eta would have to have our own convox." "You could solve the aboutness problem once and for all,"
I suggested, half serious. He lowered his gaze from enraptured study of the sky and stared at me.
You've studied the AP?
I shrugged. Probably not as much as you have. We learn about it when we study the early history of the split.
Between the followers of Saint Proque and the disciples of Saint Helicarn.
Yeah, though it's a little unfair to call one group followers and the other disciples, if you see what I mean. Anyway, that's what we call the split.
Proqueans were more friendly to the syntactic point of view. Or maybe I should have said Fanians.